sweat the technique. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Big game, James. Caught us a little bit. Had the Joey Loperfido, Cam Smith. What do you call it? A practical comp? Situational comp? I think it was situational.
Situational
comp.
Sounds right.
Loperfido was terrible in Toronto, James. He was a sub-Mendoza hitter. He hit 197. OPS of 579. Loperfido was tragic in Toronto.
I think what he remembers, didn't Loperfido have like two good games right out of the bat and then completely fade away? Or was it Wagner?
Wagner had some good games out of the gate, but he didn't fade away. He got pretty solid throughout.
No, Joey had like, there was a small stretch where he had like, I think, two home runs in a small period of time.
I think that's what happens
and
sometimes.
And he made a catch or two similar to the one he made for the Astros. Yeah.
No. He had two home runs his entire time in Toronto.
Were they close together, though?
One was on the 18th. The other was on the 23rd.
Five days.
Yes.
Yeah, within a five. I said within a week period of time, he had a couple of home runs, and he made a couple of plays in the outfield where people were like, ooh.
I don't consider two home runs over a five-game period.
You and I both don't, but when they just trade for the guy, fans are going to get all over that. I think it wasn't another bare hand type catch like that.
It wasn't right away, though. It was like later after they acquired him.
I just remember there was a lot of reaction, and then people were regretting giving up Joey Loperfido here, too.
Yeah. I don't like the Loperfido comparison with Cam Smith. And I'm not a fan of bringing him up on opening day either. Like, even if you think he's going to be one of your best seven offensive players, to me it makes all the sense in the world to delay it into the summer so you buy an extra year of him being on your roster. Like, if we think Cam Smith's going to be good, and we don't want to put this bar on, like, you know, how good. But if we think that Cam Smith's going to be good, and we know that Jim Crane doesn't extend players, we can pretty much assume that Cam Smith is going to leave as a free agent whenever he can leave as a free agent. So if you're trying to extract as much Cam Smith in a Houston Astro uniform time, and I feel uncomfortable talking about Cam Smith in this way because I feel like it's putting the cart ahead of the horse. But if we think he's going to be good, he's not going to sign a long-term contract. You keep him in the minors until the summer. You get an extra year of service time because of it. It makes the most sense in the world from a big-picture point of view. I don't want Cam Smith up until, like, July 1st at the earliest.
No, that's basically – I'm with you. I just think that you don't start the clock on him. And again, until you know what you really have with the roster that you're going to break camp with and the guys that have been on the roster previously – then it seems like they're confident going into the start of the season with Altuve, Jake, and Chaz, you know, in the outfield. And then you just have to wait and see how those guys perform. You know Altuve is going to hit, and so he's going to be a staple in left. But of those two other guys, if Chaz goes back to being the same guy he was a year ago, then sooner rather than later, they're going to be looking to try and find other options in right field.
Yeah, I mean, I am curious to see how the scenario plays out. I wouldn't put they're confident in that outfield though. I don't know if Joe Espada, if you get a couple of pops in him and he was telling you the cold hard truth, I don't think he would tell you privately, off the record, in a private room that he's confident in that outfield.
I hope not. Because you know I'm not.
Isn't that what you said, though?
No, I'm saying that's what they're going to do. I wanted them to go out and try and fix the outfield before they break camp.
I thought you said that they're confident in that offense, that outfield.
No, they seem to be content. I think they seem to be content to break camp and start the season with that outfield. Because I've been cringy the entire time about having those two guys in the outfield. I can't stand the thought of having them in the outfield. But I'm also going to have to face the reality of that's who they're starting the season with in their outfield.
Rocky says we need every draft pick we can get. Why not play him? So he's thinking rookie of the year, get an additional draft pick. Screw that service time. You need to win every game. Do we think Cam Smith starting the year with the Astros in early April versus Cam Smith adding him to the roster on July 1st is the difference between winning a division title or not?
Better not be.
I don't think that's the difference between winning a division title or not. Because, do I think Cam Smith's going to have an impact on the Astros in 2025? I would bet that he does. I don't think calling him up on opening day versus July 1 is going to matter in the Astros' quest to win an American League West Division championship.
You better be able to pitch. Your guys that you either went out and got or that you lean on, like Yordan and Altuve, have got to hit. You know, you've got a good bullpen too. But there's so many other things. Cam Smith is just a guy that rectifies maybe the one last problem that this team has in terms of that outfield and who they're throwing out there. But I don't think Cam Smith is going to be a difference maker in this team winning the division.
I'm also very uncomfortable talking about Cam Smith this way with 134 professional plate appearances, with only 20 of those above A ball. Like, I think he's going to be good. It bothers the wrong word. It makes me uncomfortable that we're talking about Cam Smith as this candidate prospect.
Right, I wasn't aware what you brought it up yesterday, and I wasn't aware of that. But if he has had that little experience in the minor leagues, it's probably good on both sides to him start the season somewhere in their minor league system, getting at bats. And if he dominates and he's really successful, if he's in Double A, you move him up. If he's in Triple A, you think about sooner rather than later, he could make an impact for you. But you don't know what you don't know, and he hasn't had a lot of experience to do anything to solidify what he's going to be in terms of big picture. So you don't have to rush that fast.
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN. Here's also some evidence as to why spring training numbers should be taken with a grain of salt. Robin Cypress, who's an active Astro fan on Twitter. I didn't do the legwork on this. I'm far too lazy. Thank you, Robin Cypress, for having the desire to do this, and now I can use it on the radio. He pointed out some players in Astros' past and some of their spring training numbers. J.D. Davis, no longer with us in the Astros organization. He had a spring training. He didn't post the years here, but he had spring training. J.D. Davis, 365 hitter, an OPS over 1,000, hit 5 home runs. J.D. Davis, an impactful major leaguer? No. Justin Dearden's the guy that we were talking about. 324 average, an OPS 1,043. Released from the Astros organization a couple of years later. I don't even know who this guy is. Tanulu? Never heard of him. 353 average in spring training, an OPS of 1,200, 5 homers. Miles Straw, who was traded at the deadline, 378 hitter. He even had a 928 OPS, dude who can't hit the ball out of the infield. Tony Kemp, love me some Kemp, 350 average, one spring training, an OPS of 1,040. Let's chill on spring training numbers. They mean absolutely nothing. They do not matter. Texture. People have these takes every single year of spring training, and they never learn. These games are just glorified practices. Bingo. You hit it right on the head, Texture. They are glorified practice. Everybody's trying to get ready for the season. Dudes hitting good in spring training are not any sort of correlation with how they're going to perform at the big league level.
When you think about just when we see how many guys that are really extraordinary, in the 4A player moniker, like you think guys that even succeed at the AAA level, it's literally a different ball game with pitching that you face when you move up to the big league level. And the majority of these guys in every rotation are way far better than what you're facing, even in AAA. So that's where guys really kind of set themselves apart, solidify their position in the big leagues, or you realize they're not ready for the actual prime time of big league baseball and being a consistent player. You just don't know. But in spring training, it's not just AAA players. It's everybody in their entire system that they have some level of interest and faith in, that they want to see how they match up, where they belong in their system. So it isn't close to what a major league game is.
Rocky says, what if Walker doesn't start the season? Which, there is some bad news with the Astros. Christian Walker was scratched from today's spring training game, reported left oblique soreness. Will be seen by team doctors. Joe Espada had a quote after the game. It's something I don't want to see right now. I'm just hoping for the best. So that's what we know about that situation. Christian Walker missed about a month of last season with soreness or oblique injury. So first injury to sweat here for the Houston Astros.
So he'll end up having 5th. Tommy John.
I was going to say.
The entire season.
Normally, if you just had any, and I'm glad they didn't use the word did they use the word discomfort?
Soreness.
Okay, because if they used discomfort, then it really would have been a curse, and they really would have had something major.
Months,
yeah, then
yeah.
He's done.
But is soreness better than discomfort?
With the Astros, I
think
I would
so.
Say yes.
Yeah, I think so.
I would agree.
And I think it's better than a strain or, you know, when they would have to come, and not that they'd ever be honest with us, but if they came out and said, you know, strained oblique. Now I'm thinking, yeah, now we're putting a lot of things in jeopardy. If it's just soreness, let's hope it goes away in a day or two.
I don't love Espada's quote, though. Like
that's what worries me the most.
Espada, I don't love to see this right
fear.
Now. Yeah.
It's something I don't want to see. But he did this last year, too, and then, like, Bregman came right back. I think it was with Bregman's elbow. Like, we're scared, or basically whatever. And then Bregman, like, is in the lineup the next day at third base. So I feel like Dana Brown, who's very loose-lipped, my tell on Joe Espada is that he's kind of a fearmonger.
I do agree, though, with the way he phrased the quote you just read leads me to believe he's concerned about this, as in it could impact his availability for opening day.
Yeah. Now,
that quote is the one that got me.
To answer Rocky's question, look, we don't know, right? We have no idea what the severity of this injury is. We're trying to, like, read between the lines and guess. Texter, Singleton has played just about every game in spring ball against Grubbs and is barely hitting .225. Yeah, but he's ripped. Here, Eric the Driver, Will Ferrell and Russell Wilson got to play in spring training games. That should tell you all you need to know about how seriously the organizations take these games. Wasn't it, who was the country singer? There was a country singer
Garth Brooks played for the Mets.
He played for the Mets in a spring training game, too. So throw him into Will Ferrell and Russell Wilson conversation as well. Now, to answer Rocky's question, like, what if Walker doesn't start the season? He's on the IL with oblique, like, playing the hypothetical out. We have no idea what the injury. We know it's an oblique. We don't know the severity of it. But if he doesn't make the opening day roster, what does that mean for the Astros? I think John Singleton and Zach DiCenzo share first base. Mm-hmm. I still don't think Cam Smith's on the 26.
Mm-mm. I agree with that. I just think that, for now, he's not getting reps anywhere but third base, too. So, you know, I just think that they're going to take their time with him. And they're going to, you know, kind of surmise the rest of the situation. I hope that we're not dealing with anything at first base. I know it, one thing to say that they went out and they committed a lot financially to Walker. I think Walker's such a key piece to this puzzle. I hope this isn't anything serious.
It is also a downside of signing a player that's in their mid-30s.
Again.
Like, you know, you sign players in their mid-30s. Usually they don't get healthier later into their 30s, unless you're Barry Bonds, which, I mean, that guy was just a marvel. He was a medical miracle, mm-hmm. Barry Bonds. That's all. That's all you can say about Barry Bonds. Rocky on the YouTube, you guys crack me up. Send Chaz, Myers, and Dubon back down. I guarantee they ain't lighting it up. Why? Because they are not starters on any playoff team. Well, that's not true. Chaz and Myers have started on playoff teams. Chaz was on the World Series team. Myers was not starting on the World Series team, but started most of last year on a playoff team. Like, they're not known for their – well, Chaz is supposed to be a hitter. And up until last season, Chaz has been an above-average player and hitter at the big league level. Myers is a defensive first center fielder at a premium defensive position and was a Gold Glove finalist. And Mauricio Dubon, quite frankly, is a utility player. I don't love that he's your everyday starting second baseman, but he is good defensively at least. I think he'll be very good defensively.
And he has value on any playoff team. Any team in the league would love to have a Mauricio Dubon.
But as a starter.
Yeah, because I think he can start at multiple positions. Like, you know, if you want to define,
so then his value is a utility player.
Yeah, if you're starting at multiple positions, you're not an everyday starter. You might get everyday starts, but you're not the number one at a single position.
I think on a team that's fighting for a playoff spot, I think he could start at second base. I think he could start at shortstop. I think he could play. He could start on teams in center field, because I don't think the bat is of that high of an importance, especially in center field. But I think that, whether it's Justin Verlander's personal center fielder or not, I think he can play adequate outfield.
Yeah, I think he's a better infielder than he is outfielder.
Either way, I think, you know, with the scenarios I laid out, I think that in one of those three positions, I think he could start for a team that has a chance to make the playoffs.
Probably depends on the rest of your team. But if he's hitting 7-9, playing really good level defense, and you're 1-7 or good offensively, and you have a good pitching staff, I think so too. I think so as well.
You just basically described the Astros.
I know. That's the hope.
Yeah.
The hope is they have a good pitching staff, Chaz can find something, and that your 1-6 are good.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Astros. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. There is an Astro that I'm falling in love with over again. I'll tell you who it is. It's Lance McCullers. I'll tell you why next. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Blank, Branham, Brian. Triple G, Brian. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. 713-780-3776. Happy Gilmore's 2 will release on July 25th on Netflix. Is that a weekday, I wonder? Let's see.
Can't imagine it'd be a weekday.
It's a Friday night. It's a Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Yeah, Friday is, I guess, technically a
weekday.
Here's
where I'm going with this. Will Sean Mapes take the day off to watch Happy Gilmore like he took the day off on the NCAA 25 release date.
I don't think someone of his age group would be a big enough Adam Sandler fan to take the day off.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. But the bigger question then would be, would Brian McDonald take off for any movie release of his favorite all-time actor, like if there was like another Beekeeper movie?
Well, you know the answer to part of that question. There is another Beekeeper,
it's a Beekeeper
movie coming,
two coming
out. Yeah, I don't know exactly when. I don't think there's a release date, but TBD. We'll see. I'm saying the chances are greater than zero.
There you go. There is a true love and affection for his favorite action movie star.
Yeah, I said that in part just to irritate Jeremy, because I know the idea of taking off for any form of entertainment just confuses Jeremy to no end.
Kind of relate our show to, like, you're hanging with the boys and you're having a cold beer at the bar, you know? And you know how, like, there's times when you're really engaged in the conversation where, like, you have to go to the bathroom, but you don't – you're, like, engaged in the conversation, so you hold it off until a lull in the conversation? Mm-hmm. That was my go-to-the-bathroom moment. Whenever you bring up Beekeeper, that's like you're at the bar conversating, that comes up, I'm out the door, I'm going to hit the head. Like Beekeeper 2.
Any movie that he stars in, right?
There is one coming out later this month called A Working Man. I'm not taking a day off for it, but I will see it the first week.
I'm not sure I've seen a single movie that Jason Statham is in.
Are you and Michael going to review that at some point?
We might. We might. I might make another guest appearance on Comicast, which can be heard tonight at 8 o'clock.
There you go.
Did I see Furious 7? Probably not.
I mean, he's been in most of the Fast and Furious movies, right?
He was in Crank. I think I've seen Crank.
Yeah, there's two Crank movies.
I think I've seen. Those are the ones that he's most famous for.
I would assume you've seen him in the
IMDb.
But wait, there's more. Brian's going to tell you the other
one. I was just going to say, like, I would assume you might have seen him in a Guy Ritchie movie, like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels or Snatch. I mean, a lot of those movies.
I've seen Snatch.
Those movies were pretty big.
He was in Red Faction 2.
I don't think I've seen that one, actually.
It's a video game.
Okay, there you go.
I've seen The Italian Job.
Oh, I love The Italian Job. Great movie.
I don't know if I got great.
I loved it. And Clarice Theron was in that movie.
What did you like about her?
She was smoking hot.
She's a strong, independent, powerful woman.
Yeah.
As Paul would say.
The opening scene, from the opening scene on, she was. Mm-hmm.
Which movie was that again?
The Italian Job.
Is that what you told Mrs. Blank?
No, you were just waiting on all that, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
Mm-hmm.
You fell in love with Mrs. Blank. I'm falling in love again with Lance McCullers. And I love makes you do stupid things. It does. And trusting in Lance McCullers again is a stupid thing. I am willing to admit that. I know that. I concede that fact. But I'm starting to fall in love with Lance McCullers again, Blankers. Did you see that he hit 94.7 on his fastball over the weekend?
I was shocked.
Velo's up.
Was that on IG?
I was shocked.
No, he's staying off the IG. It's one of the things I'm liking about him. Mm-hmm. Like, he means business this time around. I like that. I don't want the social media clips of him throwing the high 80s with terrible movement and no horizontal direction. Give me a little 94.7 with the velo, Lance McCullers, and I'll fall in love with you again. Stop posting videos on social media, and I'll fall in love. Look, again, love makes you do stupid things. Lance McCullers had some quotes. There's been a lot of ups and downs for me, a lot of persevering, a lot of leaning on the Lord to get back where I am today. Okay, I like this Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers, the overall workload of throwing a pregame bullpen and going to throw a live, the volume, intent, everything, different cycle today. This is over the weekend after facing live hitters. There's no restraining when you're facing hitters. There's no backing off. You want to look good, but that's not the overall goal today. The goal is to be healthy and try to execute my pitches. I thought I looked overall solid. McCullers, today's a pretty good indication the arm can handle the workload, can handle the velo. Did I mention he threw 94.7? I'm probably have a little bit more gas in there as I get going to be able to throw sliders with freedom, curveballs with freedom, and worry about executing fastballs each side of the plate and have my mind there versus having my mind on how's the elbow feeling. Today is a big step for me. He's got me. I am falling back in love with
the
beard. The locks are gone, but they're starting to flow again. I think I am re-falling in love with Lance McCullers. This is like remarrying the spouse that you once divorced.
Sucker.
I told you I'm a fool.
Sucker.
This is the part where like your friends step in and like, dude, she's not right for you. Like, you've done this before. This is a toxic relationship. She's going to hurt you again.
Yeah, this is the one where I remind you that I am not all in on McCullers until he starts throwing to major league hitters on multiple occasions.
Like
in a game from other teams.
They were.
Full game situation.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, and you know, look, there was a lot in that, and there was a lot that I was intrigued by and excited by. The velocity first and foremost.
94.7.
And the other biggest thing about that was where he explained how he didn't have to worry on every pitch, or he was concerned about his elbow and how it felt and could he handle it, and he was able to throw freely from what it seems. Those are the two most encouraging things. That's awesome. Now let me see you get into some games and do some things, and then maybe I'll feel the same level, or not that quit that level, but yeah, maybe I'll feel more excited.
We're talking about, what, two live bullpen sessions he's had? Is it just one?
I think it's just one, right?
One, yeah. You're like the Tin Man, though. You have no heart.
Versus a six-month season?
I learned
season?
From you.
Was like, it the Tin Man or the Lion?
Lion needed courage. Tin Man needed a heart?
I think Tin Man needed a heart.
Tin Man needed a heart. Lion needed courage, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. I think so.
I think that's right. Who was the other one? Scarecrow?
Scarecrow. Yeah.
What was his deal?
Brain.
What was his?
I think he needed a brain.
Idiosyncrasy. He needed a brain. He was dumb. He was a killer bee.
Yeah.
Oh, he was a twitcher.
Oh.
Wow. Unnecessary. I mean, like, it's not like we have a drop.
Who's a fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
Enough for Lance McCullers. He'll be disabled in 3 weeks. Look, I have to get it in while I can. Dude, don't text her. Here were some of the hitters that faced Lance McCullers. John Singleton, who's ripped. He might be hitting .125, but he looks good. Slimmed down. He is a lean, mean, lack of hitting machine. Singleton said that McCullers looked pretty good. Breaking ball looked great today. He was putting in some very good spots. I think he didn't leave any up, didn't hang any. Obviously, it's a work in progress for all of us, but he looked really well today. Victor Caratini. Singleton took a close final pitch in a full count. Caratini was a catcher here, struck out Singleton. Singleton said, I would have challenged it and I would have lost. So Lance McCullers struck out John Singleton. That's not an easy feat. It is not an easy feat to punch out John Singleton, especially with his new physique. It is hard to strike out John Singleton. You know who did it? Lance McCullers, the guy I'm falling in love with. Jake Myers, Jake Myers is known for two things, his gold glove and his silver slugger bat. Jake Myers with a quote after facing Lance McCullers. I see what the Astros are doing here by having him face John Singleton and Jake Myers, by the way. That's not lost on me. But Jake Myers, honestly, I was just really happy for him. Jake Myers, such an aloof buffoon.
He really
Jake
is.
Honestly, I was just really happy for him because he's feeling good and he's back on the mound. His stuff's always electric, and I trust Jake Myers when it comes to seeing pitches. His stuff's always electric. Doesn't matter when or where. When he throws a baseball, it comes out of his hand hard. Always. And I trust Jake Myers, everything that he says. Myers continued. I'm surprised he talked this much. He's pitched in some massive games, so pitching on a backfield in spring training, maybe not the most adrenaline going, but I could tell that he was feeling good and excited to be out there on the mound facing hitters. I want this guy to be my psychologist, and I think that's really cool.
Didn't Walker really face him, too?
Yeah, where was the Walker quest? I thought I had some.
Yeah, because Christian Walker, at least I would
so Lance
weigh a lot more
Christian
weight on
Walker,
him.
And now Walker's hurt.
That's how good Lance McCullers was, that Christian Walker took a body blow and now is surrendering back into his corner, saying, no mas, no mas.
Or Lance is just a curse, and everyone he faces is going to get hurt.
You are the half empty, whereas I am the half full. Here's the Walker's quotes about Lance McCullers. Locating his fastball, threw me a good changeup below, overall good, had some snap to his pitches, the Snapdragon, located. It was solid.
Some snap Christian to his movements.
Lance McCullers beat up Christian Walker so bad, the dude has a hurt oblique. And you guys aren't falling in love with Lance McCullers?
Not yet. Nope.
I love the quote from Jake that he said his stuff was electric. I have to imagine everyone's stuff looks electric to Jake just because he can't hit.
Joel Blank throwing to Jake Myers out of retirement. Dustin, that's electric stuff I saw from the old lefty.
That's your ass it was.
This dude doesn't believe in spring training numbers, but believes in Lance McCullers' bullpen session. That's right. How do you not bury me in the H? Lance McCullers is an Astro hero, golden era hero. Falling in love with the guy.
See how he spelled session?
I did, but we don't make fun of grammar here.
No, Paul, we don't. You're right.
Keith from L.A., who will be lead in his HEB commercials now that Alex Bregman is gone?
That's a good question. Altuve's going to still be there.
Probably Pena, because he's good looking.
Pena will be there, and then they'll probably get Yordan involved.
Yeah, he doesn't know much English, but maybe he doesn't need to. Neither is maybe
Hunter Walker.
Has Hunter Brown been in one?
Well, Hunter would be a good call. Hunter would be a good call.
Maybe Eric Geddy if they want to sell some sell some Italian fare.
I think it's either Hunter or Yordan.
Now forget being half empty or half full kind of guy. Just be happy you have a glass. Look at that optimism from the Hive. Example, McCullers actually pitching. Not only is he actually pitching, he's hitting 94.7 on the gun. 94.7.
That's impressive.
I'll make sure to update his reference
page. But let's think about the last bullpen session where we heard anything like this, where he was like actually putting the video of the pitches there too. He was throwing 90 on his fastball. Now he's at over 94. I was very pleased to hear that.
94.7.
You're giddy.
I'm in love.
I don't think I've seen you this excited in a while.
94.7. I like velo. I cannot lie.
You got a type?
Yeah, I like my pitchers that throw hard.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't love Jamie Moyers of the world. No.
Yeah, the Rich Hills.
The Dallas Keuchel. Like, I'm not paying Dallas Keuchel big money.
It's Cy Young.
Give me velo. I like velo. I want guys who punch dudes out.
And break Christian Walker's oblique.
Break his oblique. I like a violent physical pitcher. Like, I like
You like your hits. Yeah.
I like my athletes that way. I like physical, violent athletes. So I'm a big Joe Mixon fan. 713-780-3776. I don't love what the Chicago Bears are doing as it relates to the Houston Texans. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Ever heard of this guy?
Never knew my old Not me, sir.
Riley Green, you said?
Yeah, Riley Green. I heard of him when I looked up who's playing at the rodeo tonight. Riley Green was the answer.
I like his voice.
Yeah, I like the start of the song.
He does not look like I thought he would look.
How did you think he was going to look?
Not like how he looks.
Fair.
Chuck Norris?
No, he looks more like the dude on Yellowstone. One of the ranch hands.
Okay. So you say you're saying he looks like a working man?
Yeah.
Someone's got calluses on their hands.
Yeah.
Like Joel Blank.
He's got more than calluses.
Yeah, I'll mess with this.
It's not bad.
I'll mess with this. Now I want a cold beer.
Yeah, well, I think you use that as an excuse though.
I've never heard of Riley Green. I'm not gonna trip. I'm not gonna front.
He's an outfielder for a while, wasn't he?
See, whenever I thought he was with Tiger. Riley Green.
Well, there was a baseball player named Riley Green. I think he's still playing, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He's an outfielder,
that's
right?
That's the one I was thinking of. The one that carries Tigers, yeah.
I believe he's an outfielder.
Sick flex.
Yeah, just fantasy baseball.
I don't think this guy a baseball player, Riley Green?
Well, the Astros had the guy in spring training. Was it a year ago that was also a country?
He was a Tiger. Yeah, Luke Berryhill. Yeah, the Astros Luke Berryhill caught my first pitch.
Oh, and certainly, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, catcher.
He told me I was the best that ever done it.
I don't think he did.
I think, no, he did. He did. And I was like, you tell everybody that.
You also did it with Branham Baby in tow, which I was did. Impressive.
Yeah, I promise you he said that. He goes, you're the best we've ever had. I was like, you tell that to everybody.
Well, maybe his only comparison is trying to catch Brad Keldner from the year before. So you were by default the best.
I mean, Luke Berryhill's a backup catcher. How many first pitches do you think he's caught?
Actually,
he's caught hundreds of them.
Probably 70%
of them. Hundreds of them. He tried to pull wool over my eyes. You're the best. No, Luke, you're not pulling that on me. That might work for everybody else. But I know that you're lying.
You were probably
to me.
Blushing you're afterwards.
I was like, okay, Luke.
Oh, thank you, Luke.
I was just happy I was through a catchable pitch because I had a baby in my hand.
Keller and I had Corey Lee, and then Corey Lee got traded within like the next 2 days.
What did Lee tell you?
He tell you the best. You were the best there was.
He didn't say anything like that. He just
the best there is, the best there ever will be.
No, I don't recall what he said.
I thought you did. I thought you told us that he told you that he was the best. You said that he said.
No, this was the guy.
This is not the first time you've done it.
Maybe he said that the guy that was very complimentary was the guy that was the all-time save leader for the Space Cowboys. But at that point, it was the Skeeters, and he was a former Astro starting pitcher. and he became a reliever. Oh, I can't. Paulino? I think it was Paulino.
No idea who the all-time saves leader is for.
Actually, I think I do remember Paulino now. I don't remember his first name, though.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, but I thought you did it. You're like...
I don't remember.
They told you that you it wasn't. They could tell it wasn't your first time.
I don't remember at this point.
I just gave you so many compliments on my arm. They all run together.
It doesn't matter.
What are the chances you do remember, but you're telling us you don't remember?
Well, I mean, that's something. What are the chances that you would think that? That's pretty great. What is reality is I literally don't remember what he said.
Huh. I wonder if we have the tape on it.
Sweet. Dig it up.
I wonder if we could pull that.
Because it's not going to affect
me. I don't know if I want to dig through that entire show.
It might be worth it if he did say that.
Why? Because I don't remember it? I'm not saying he didn't say anything. I just don't remember it.
Texture, can y'all break down the upcoming Big Ten baseball season? Thanks, Keith. Iowa. Why are we talking about drafting anything besides help to keep CJ off his backside? My answer to that would be because Nick Caserio has not drafted offensive linemen very well. Kenyon Green looks like he's not playable. Blake Fisher, who you drafted in the second round, and you wanted him to be a starter in his second year. We're not sure he's capable of being a starter yet. Juice Scruggs, who you traded up for, are we locking him in as a starter? So I see where you're coming from, which is a very valid question. Like, all of the resources for the Texans should be spent on offensive line. Totally get it. But why do we not trust Caserio in the draft? Because his track record of drafting offensive linemen has been poor?
Less than.
And his track record of drafting wide receiver is good, and that's also a great need because everything after Nico Collins on the roster right now is below average to garbage.
Yeah. I don't love what the Bears are doing, and it's because I'm jealous. Like, I'm jealous of what the Bears are doing right now. The Bears have acquired two starting interior offensive linemen in, what was it, 2 days? Did they do this yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew they traded. How do you say the Chiefs guy? Thuny? Tunney? I forget. Thuny. So the Bears traded for Thuny today, who is a really good football player still. They traded a 2026 fourth rounder. Not even this year's draft. Next year's draft, they got Thuny, so they have a starter right away. They traded yesterday for Jonah Jackson of the Rams. They used a sixth rounder there. And Jonah Jackson's not like as good as Thuny, but he's going to start as well. So the Chicago Bears, in a span of 24 hours, traded their sixth round pick this year, their fourth round pick next year, and instantly have 40% of a new offensive line. Meanwhile, Nick Caserio's sleep. Nick Caserio's sleep. What's going on with the Houston Texans? Like, that should be a massive priority. The Bears are going out and improving their offensive line, and Nick Caserio's asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know you're over-exaggerating to some point.
I'm not over-exaggerating at all.
I think he definitely has to find veterans one way or another. If he's going to just try and gather all of his resources financially and hit the free agent market, great. To some extent, just we know that he has limited resources this year, unlike last year. But if not, then make these trades down the road and still find it out and analyze what other teams are offering guys like that. Because as much as the Bears are doing all this because they know that they've got to protect Caleb Williams and they've got a coach that was spoiled with the best offensive line in football with Ben Johnson and when he was with the Lions, you know that if you're Nick Caserio, your line was less than, and C.J. Stroud is more than, and you need to have good protection for your quarterback, and we all know that it's priority 1, 1A, 1B, and before we even get to wide receiver in the other positions of need, they have got to get better on the offensive line, so I hope there's other moves to be made, and I hope he's involved in them.
Yeah, it just, I'm jealous.
Oh, I hear you.
I don't watch offensive line play. I'm not a sicko like Lance Zierlein. I watch offensive line play for the Texans, but I'm not going around watching the other 31 teams and how good their offensive line is. So I just plug them into Pro Football Focus. What do they think of the offensive line? Are they any good? And Jonah Jackson didn't have a great year last year, so I'm not really that upset about Jonah Jackson. It's why I didn't say a peep yesterday. But then you acquire Thuny for a future fourth. Like, he would look perfect with the Houston Texans. That's the kind of guy I want. I want a veteran who instantly makes this interior offensive line far better. I don't want a project. I don't want a dude at 25. I don't want a bounce back candidate. I want a plug and play dude that instantly makes that interior offensive line better. And Thuny does that.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous just because he would obviously help the Texans, but I hate sometimes that we jump into this every offseason where any time a trade is made, we jump to the why didn't the Texans make this move mindset because, I mean, it's possible Nick Caserio decided he didn't want him, even though I don't believe that because he was a part of the team that drafted him all those years ago. I think this could be a situation where maybe they also wanted to offer a fourth and the Chiefs looked at it as like, why would we trade Tooney to a team that we're going to be competing with to get back to a Super Bowl and help improve them when we can send them to the other conference for a team we'd only see them in the Super Bowl. So I just don't think it's a lock that Nick Caserio was asleep at the wheel. This could be a situation where the Chiefs strategically said, we're not going to trade, you know, a player to help the Texans because they're a team that could possibly rise up and improve and be in competition
plus
with us.
Plus, you would think that the Bears pick is going to be higher than
probably
than the Texans.
Probably.
On top of that.
Then give him a third then. Give him a future third.
Yeah. Is he worth it at that point in his career?
I think so.
Because I caught that Cincinnati cut their starting guard, Alex Kappa, but I don't know what Pro Football Focus said, but I just, from what I read, Kappa wasn't what he used to be, so, after they went out and got him, so.
Alex Kappa had an overall grade of 15.5 last year,
which is bad.
Tooney was a hair under 80 with a pass block grade of 82.
That's good.
That's good, yeah.
Go get that guy, Nick Caserio. Bring me Joe Tooney. I've always said it. Joe Tooney's a game changer.
How old is he?
He's 32.
See, you said, like, well, then up the offer to a third. I don't know. A 32 years old. I know offensive linemen play a little bit longer than the average position, certainly more than, like, running backs or wide receivers. But I don't know. Third-round pick for a guy at 32 years old, I guess 33 going into this next season, is feels a little rich for me.
Yeah. I wish we would have had Tooney as a Texan. Makes me unhappy. Kappa, I don't care about. I really don't even care about Jonah Jackson. Jackson's kind of mid. Tooney's the one I thought that they missed on.
Yeah, and I hear you. I just think that hopefully there's more of these coming. Teams are restructuring their caps. They're trying to figure out what they can and can't do and get money to do it. So hopefully there's going to be more situations where starting offensive linemen from other teams become available and or get cut to where you hope Nick pounces.
RG2, Coach G on Twitter, he just sent us a video of Tyler Booker. And look, I don't want Nick Caserio to draft an offensive lineman. I want to use my trade capital or financial freedom of bringing in offensive linemen. But Booker at the Combine had a quote and said, it's legal assault out there. I make guys not love football anymore.
That attitude. Yeah. I can see the smile, well, sort of smile on your face.
You liked the violence.
You perked up, though.
Yeah.
Sounds like your type of guy.
Man, this is a tough decision. I don't want a rookie at 25, but a guy that's talking about legal assault on the football field? Whew. That excites me.
Speaking your love language.
Mm-hmm. He is speaking my love language. This is like I've fallen in love with two guys in the last 30 minutes. No, did he? I fell in love with Lance McCullers, and now I'm falling in love with rookie Tyler Booker.
So, like, you can skip right over the dinner part of the program. I mean, that's how much you got excited about
him. It's legal assault. Well, how did I miss this? It's legal assault out there. I make guys not love football anymore.
Offensive lineman at the Combine. That's not exactly attention-grabbing. I mean, the Combine's gotten increasingly boring each year. I know Lance loves it. It's his job. But
we make mock drafts great again a lot on this show. Mm-hmm. Every time I have a chance to draft Tyler Booker, I'm drafting Tyler Booker. Cam Ward, the Texans would draft Cam Ward. Abdul Carter slipped to 25 in some random stupid mock draft, but Tyler Booker's there. Give me Tyler Booker.
Is he number one on the Brandon board?
Just because of this quote.
Tyler Booker
has jumped to the top of the Brandon big board. He's number one. We're going to have to grab this audio. My kind of guy here. All right, 713-780-3776. Devontae Adams with quotes on C.J. Stroud. D.K. Metcalf is out there. And the Texans with their new president, they had him on their YouTube channel. Interesting guy. He said some things that I think we all need to know. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
If you miss John and Lance, you missed this.
For those of you who don't know, I was at the Oscars.
Did you know you were sneaking on TV after Raheel told you to get on TV?
I looked down at the monitor. I said, oh, crap.
I'm on TV.
You did? Because you can see you looking into the camera. I'm like, he's doing this on purpose.
Yeah.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Key says if we bring in any offensive linemen, just keep them away from Laramie Tunsil. He'll buy them skinny crop jeans and a purse and make them sort. Sounds misogynist. Sounds a little sexist. I'm not going to read text like that. I'm not cool enough to know what make them sort means.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I mean, I think it's soft, right?
Oh, maybe spelling gas.
Spelling or just a new way to spell it.
The R's? Oh, the R is close to the F. Yeah, make them
like
soft.
Like sort? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He meant to spell soft, not sort.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Because the F and the R are right.
Yeah, S-A-W-F-T, like that
hey,
sort of thing.
Don't text and drive, Keith. It's dangerous. Cooper Kupp would be cheaper than Devontae Adams or DK Metcalf, and he can play slot. Do we know that for sure that he'd be cheaper than Devontae?
I don't think we do.
Here was Devontae Adams talking about C.J. Stroud. High admiration for the Texans signal caller.
What about C.J. Stroud? What about the other young buck?
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. That he may be number one. I don't know.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud is on.
Stroud. That was somebody I was campaigning for coming out. So I was really. I won't say I was anti rookie, but I was not, you know, pro rookie across the board. It wasn't just get somebody young, you know, in here. It was really that was the guy that I felt strongly about, and he felt the same way. I know I've seen a couple of videos where they had asked him who he'd like to throw to coming in the league, and he said me. And I actually got to kick it with him at Michael Rubin's all-white party out there in the Hamptons. And we kicked it for probably, like, literally 8 hours. And dude is solid. Like, I've never been around a dude that young coming in that, you know, that's that mature, other than probably Trey Tucker. Like, those two dudes are probably two of the most mature rookies that I've been around.
So that was Devontae Adams with the two Gs in a pod. Almost Brian's hat. Two G's in a pod.
One G away.
Podcast. Now, it is important to note that this was a year ago.
Yeah.
So 12 months ago, whenever he said this, was asking a question about what quarterback, not including Aaron Rodgers, would he want to catch passes from. So does that change your thoughts on Tay at all?
No, I really think that he'd be a great fit here. I think the biggest concern for me is at what price. I think that if he truly wants to try and win – you know, as he kind of goes down to plays the back nine of his career. And it seems like everybody that's interviewed him and talked to him, his desire is to win. Then at what price are you willing to give up? How much are you willing to give up to play with a winning team for the next couple of years and have a true chance so that you don't have to keep following Aaron Rodgers around and play with less than teams just to try and, you know, salvage some things from an individual basis. If you truly want to win, and you're willing to kind of get into that same ballpark of what we were talking about with Cooper Kupp numbers or you know, in and around 15 to 20 million, I'm more than entertaining that because I think that he is a huge upgrade as your number two from Diggs.
Yeah, I just don't know if this quote really matters. Plus, I would need a discount for Devontae Adams. Like, I'm paying him $25, $30 million a year. I like the idea of Devontae Adams as a Houston Texan for a certain cost. I don't think it's in play. I just do not see a scenario that exists where Devontae Adams plays his football next year with the Houston Texans. I'm having a tough time seeing the vision.
Yeah, I don't believe he'd be here. Like if to Joel's point, like if he's willing to maybe take a little of a pay cut to win. I mean, I think the Texans are going to be good. I think they're going to win the division. But the Texans wouldn't be at the top of the list of, I need to chase a ring. This is the team I'm going to go to. Like, I still think he considers the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills. There's other teams ahead of the Texans where if his number one goal is chase a ring, would give him a better chance at a ring. So that takes the Texans out. And he's talked in the past about, I mean, he's a West Coast guy, went to Fresno State, wants to be on the West Coast. So that takes the Texans out. So I don't see, other than obviously like C.J. Stroud, but is that more than his love for the West Coast and giving himself the best chance to win a ring? I don't think it is.
Also, I think it's kind of game-respecting game more than Devontae wanting to play with C.J. Stroud. Especially after 365 days. Like, a lot has changed between now and then. Devontae Adams was a better player a year ago. C.J. Stroud was a better player a year ago. At least he was coming off a better season a year ago. Texans have an entirely new offensive coordinator. So I don't know. Like, I think Devontae thinks highly of Stroud. I don't know how pertinent it is in terms of like wanting to be a Houston Texan, though.
I mean, I think it can only help that he likes the quarterback situation in Houston, and he was impressed by CJ. I mean, you know, it again. I think it's going to come down to money more than anything else. I think that if it comes down to the Bills, the Chiefs, and he would consider the Texans, then I think that money's going to matter. And you know that Buffalo getting out from under Amari Cooper, and I don't know exactly what finances that they have. Chiefs normally are trying to keep it closer to the vest and looking for someone that, like Brian said, just truly wants to go there to win and might be willing to take a lot less. But I don't think it hurts you that he's impressed by C.J. Stroud and would like to play with him. That'd be great.
How highly on the list do you think it is?
On his list?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that he'd probably – look, I think that he's going to take it – I just don't see him doing playing for the Chiefs unless he takes significantly less money.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I don't know why Kansas City – like, why did you bring up Kansas City, though?
Well, because Brian did, because of the fact that Kansas City and Buffalo are teams that are going to be seem to be looking for wide receiver.
If he's ring chasing?
Yeah, if he's ring chasing, you take Kansas City because they got the best chance to win the AFC.
So he just like throws finances out the window and it's like 100% about the ring?
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on what the motivation is. I think playing with CJ would be near the bottom. Like, I think money's one.
Yeah.
I think chasing rings two. I think West Coast is three.
See, I think location might be ahead of three.
Okay. Well, either way, like the thing that would land the Texans in the conversation is no higher than fourth. Behind location, money, and ring.
And even if it was fourth, I don't think Stroud's at the top of that list.
Right.
So, like, even if, like, the quarterback preference is fourth on that list, we might disagree on two and three or whatever. If we're talking about guys he wants to catch a football from, is Stroud ahead of Rodgers, Mahomes, Allen, and potentially other Burrow?
Maybe Stafford.
Not that Burrow's really in play.
If Kupp leaves, it's on the West Coast.
Jordan Love.
Maybe San Francisco. Maybe San Francisco because they lost Debo.
They might be trying to trade Ayuk at this point. We'll see. So
yeah, yeah. I guess my lack of vision here is Adams a year ago saying I like CJ Stroud and like it's going to lead to him being a Texan a year later. I don't know. We'll see. 713-780-ESPN. Everybody's freaking out about this cryptic Joe Mixon tweet. There's another receiver that demanded a trade today, or requested a trade today, and this new Texans president. We'll get to some of his sound bites. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.